I'd like just to think about Psalm 77. So if you have that open with you, you'll find that really helpful because we'll just have a little look through this passage. And it's interesting because I come here and I recognise one or two faces, but on the whole, I don't know you. And I don't know the different situations that you're facing and the trials that you might be experiencing. And I'm aware that I can come and speak on a topic and not know that maybe there's some really difficult things that you're going through. But I wonder, when we do face those difficult times in life, how do we respond? I know what my natural reaction is sometimes when I face something that I don't want to and things don't quite go the way that I would have planned them to go. But is it the right response? If someone were to come to you and they were saying, I'm really, really struggling. I just can't make head or tail of this and I feel like the waves are crashing over me. Please help me. What advice would you give them? Would you say to them, look, what I think you should do is just go away and pray about this? Now, it's interesting. We see the psalmist here. He's praying. He brings things before God. He speaks to the Lord as he faces these trials, as he's got this intense conflict. And he's praying, and that's good. That's good. But it's interesting that as he prays, he doesn't immediately get peace. Why is that? Why is it that as he prays, he doesn't have peace? Well, I've got three little points for you this afternoon. And the first two, we see that as he prays and as he thinks things through, well, he's missing the mark in some ways. So let's have a little look at those. Just before I start and give you the headings of where we're going, there's a word that keeps cropping up quite a number of times in this psalm. And it's the word remember. Remember. That's the key word that I want you to take home. Remember. Remember crops up four or five times throughout these few verses. So here's my headings. When you're all at sea, when you think you're in that storm and the waves are crashing round, when everything's just churning and it's uneasy and you're unsettled, when you're all at sea, remember. Remember not to do two things. Remember. When all at sea, don't resent the circumstances. When all at sea, don't resent the circumstances. And this is from verses 1 through to verse 4. You see, as we read these verses, you get the sense that here is the psalmist. And as he's praying, he's saying to God, look, God, please change these circumstances. I don't like where I'm at. Please change what's happening around me. But he's disappointed. You see, he's seeing God as the solution to his problems. I'll pray and my circumstances will be changed. Let's have a look what he says. In verse 1, we read there, I cry aloud to God, and he will hear me. This idea of I cry aloud to God. The idea is there that he's vehemently crying. He's verbalizing this literal, almost shriek to God. I cry aloud to God. And as we keep reading in verse 2, what does it say? In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. Here he is, he's untirelessly pursuing, chasing, going on, saying, I'm crying out to God, I'm reaching out to him, and I keep going. But what do we read? We read there, my soul refuses to be comforted, end of verse 2. You see, as he's crying out to God, there's this sense of his saying, oh, Lord, I'm bringing this all before you. The situation I'm in is terrible. It's awful. I don't want it. But my soul is not refreshed. It's not comforted. Verse 3. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints. Here he is. He's trying to meditate and trying to remember God. But as he thinks about it, the more he thinks about it, the more desperate he becomes. and he moans, and his spirit is fainting within him. It's like he's saying, I don't want these circumstances. I just wish they were changed. And I'm not going to be happy until they are changed. And I'm going to complain if they're not. Have you ever been in that situation? Where you've been in a situation and you're thinking, oh, Lord, why this? Oh, please, please change this. Please just alter this. Take me out of this situation or do something and change it all. And there you are and you're feeling, oh, this is awful. Lord, please help me. And the way that you see the solution is, God, fix it for me right now. Change it, take me out of it or move it or something so that my circumstances become different and then I'll be happy. But until those circumstances change, oh, I'm not going to have any peace. I'm not going to have any rest. I'm going to keep moaning, my spirit fainting within me. You get this sense that he's just overwhelmed. It's just all too much. How can he carry on in this circumstance? Now, I'm sure maybe at various times in our lives, we've all felt like that, haven't we? We just feel overwhelmed, and it's just too much, and I can't take any more, and I feel like I'm going to snap. And we cry out to God, and he prays so much, he prays to the point of exhaustion. Look at verse 4. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. Here he is. It seems like now God is withholding sleep from him. And he's brought deeper into exhaustion. You see, he's praying, isn't he? But I think he's praying for the wrong thing. Praying for your circumstances to be changed isn't necessarily the answer. And so here is the psalmist saying, I'm so disappointed. My circumstances aren't what I wish they were. And when we're in this situation and we look at our own lives, our own situations, and we say, oh, if only it was different. Oh, it'd be better if it was changed. What do we need to learn? Well, we need to learn to live in the circumstances, resting on the revealed truth of God. Rather than wishing we were outside of these circumstances, that the circumstances were different, we need to get to that point where we say, Lord, this is where you've placed me. It's maybe not what I'd have chosen, but you in your wisdom and in your love have allowed me to go through this, and so I trust you. So there he was, when you're all at sea, don't resent the circumstances. Second point. When you're all at sea, verses 5 to 9, don't hanker back for the past. Don't look back on the past. Because what happens here? You see in these next few verses, 5 through to 9, that he remembers what used to be. He recollects things from the past, and then he looks back and he compares them to now, and he says they're not what they used to be. It's not how it was in former times. The blessings that I had then and experienced and the joy, and that's back then, but now it's different. You see, as he's thinking back in his sleepless nights, he turns back to the past and he looks back to happy memories. What do we see in verse 5? I consider the days of old, the years long ago. I said, let me remember my song in the night. Let me meditate in my heart. Then my spirit made diligent search. You see, here he is, as he's lying there, and as he's sleepless, he's starting to think, oh, do you remember those happy times back then? And his mind goes back, the blessings that he'd had. But as he's thinking back, and as he's remembering those past times, what does it cause within him? He starts to ask questions. Are they the contented questions? Or are they restless questions? Look at end of verse 6. Then my spirit made diligent search. Verse 7. Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favourable? Is he always going to be treating like this? Is he never going to be kind to me again? Verse 8. Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? As he lies there at night, not sleeping, as his soul is fainting within him, as everything around the storm is crashing in, and he looks back to the past, and what does it lead to? Is he questioning God's faithfulness? Questioning God's love? Questioning whether God will fulfill his promises? Questioning whether God is still gracious? Questioning whether God is still compassionate? And as he's making these questions, asking these questions, you sense that he's saying, no, I know the answer is no. I know that God's compassions haven't failed. I know that his steadfast love doesn't cease. I know that God is still favourable towards me, but you sense that he's wanting the answer to be, no, they haven't finished. God hasn't done with you. God hasn't forgotten you, but he hasn't quite got the peace to say, no, I'm trusting in this. Can't that be the case sometimes? That as we look at our situation and we look back at the past, and I think sometimes it's easier to look back at the past with selective eyesight. And we see the happy times. We see the nice times. And maybe the difficult times have faded somewhat. And the joys stay with us, but maybe the sorrows, we don't quite view them with the same pain that we once did when we were in them. And we look back and we say, oh, what about those blessings I had then? Why did I have that then and why not now? Does God still love me? Does God still care for me? He was looking after me then. He was blessing me then. Is he not blessing me now? What's gone wrong? Why is God doing this? You see, looking back and hankering back for the past is no remedy for the present. And it's no recipe for the future. You see, questions sometimes can be comfortless. They can unsettle our minds. And they settle nothing. He's asking all these questions. So what's he done? He's looked around. Oh, if only my circumstances were different. That doesn't help him. He's looked back. Oh, if only I was back there. Oh, does God really still care for me? Neither of those two things have helped him. And yet, as we keep reading, we find the secret to his peace. And we find the secret to his joy. You see, my third and final point is this. When all at sea, rest in the Lord. When you're in those troubled times, when the water's all unsteady, and it's just lurching constantly, the waves are crashing over, what should you do? Rest in the Lord. In these next few verses, verses 10 through to 20, you see how he looks here and he remembers the wonder of God. You see now how he just fixes his eyes on the Lord, how he thinks about the Lord. And as he remembers the Lord, he finds peace in his heart. He's remembering. Look what he says in verse 10. Then I said, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. What's he doing now? He's lifting his eyes off his circumstances and off his past, and he's lifting them up to the Lord. And he's remembering the wonders of God. You can look through these verses. In verse 11 and 12, you see that he's wondering at God's past acts. Verse 13, he's remembering the surpassing greatness of God's holiness. Verse 14 and 15, he's remembering God's redemption. 16 to 18, he's remembering God's power. 19 and 20, He's remembering God's care. See, what's happened here? Who's the focus? Is the focus himself? No longer himself. His focus now becomes the Lord. His focus becomes God. Verse 11, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder on all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Earlier in verse 4, we read, verse 3, when I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints. You hold my eyelids open, verse 4. I am so tired that I cannot speak. He gets this stage previously that he just runs out of, oh, what can I say? What can I do? And he's run out of words. He's in so much anguish. And yet here you sense there's a difference. There's a peace. There's a calm. What does it say? Verse 12. I will ponder. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. In the middle of this storm, as it's all raging around, what does he do? He quietens himself and thinks about the Lord. Pondering and meditating. And what does he remember? Well, verse 13, he says, your way, O God, is holy. Your way, O God, is holy. As he stops and thinks about God, he thinks, who is God? God is holy. If you turn back just to Psalm 73, and in that psalm, the psalmist there is looking around at other people about him, and they're wicked people. And his mind is troubled, and he's thinking, how can this be? These are wicked people, and they seem to be prospering. And here am I love the Lord, and life doesn't always seem to go my way. What's the point? Why do I do this when they're not following the Lord and their life seems happy and fine? And for the first part of the psalm, that's what he's struggling with. And then it says this in verses 16 and 17. But when I thought how to understand this, it seemed too wearisome a task until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I discerned their end. The sanctuary of God. Think of the tabernacle or the temple. And then you go in, and then the most holy of holies bit, where the ark was and the mercy seat. And what do we see there? We see God's holiness. And as the psalmist thinks, as he enters the sanctuary, as he thinks about God's holiness, he then sees past the short term. And he sees further. And he sees their end. So here is the psalmist now. And he's saying, I think about your holiness. Your way, O God, is holy. And he says, what God is great like our God? Who around is like him? What other God do people serve that is as great and as loving and as compassionate and as powerful as our God? Look at what he reminds himself of. What God is like our God? What God is like our God in redemption? Verses 14 and 15. You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. With your arm, you with your arm redeemed your people, the children of Israel, the children of Jacob and Joseph. What God is like our God in redeeming people? There is no one. What God is like our God in power? Look at verses 16. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth thunder. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lighted up the world. The earth trembled and shook. He's reminding himself, this is God. This is God who controls all of nature. This is God who has all these things in his hand. Who is powerful like our God? There's no one. His redemption, there's no one like God. His power, there's no one like God. Verses 19, your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters, yet your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Who is like our God in his care for us? There's no one. It's interesting, as you look at these verses, you can see almost the psalmist looking back and looking at the deliverance out of Egypt. In verses 14 and 15, the idea he's redeemed his people. Thinking back to Egypt, he's brought them out. Then we read in verse 16, when the water saw you, O God, the water saw you, they were afraid indeed, they trembled, parting the Red Sea, and they go through. Verses 17, 18, the storms, maybe the storms of Sinai he could have been thinking of. And then in verse 19, God leading them and guiding them through the paths of the great waters, God taking care of and leading his people through and nurturing them. As a shepherd does. Look at verse 20. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. What God is like our God? What God cares so much? Look at God's power. See God's deliverance there, but look at his power. He's powerful to defeat the enemy. He's powerful to protect his people. He's powerful to deal with every adverse circumstance. Verse 17 and 18, he can use all these different mighty forces, the wind, the waves, the crash and thunder, the whirlwind, all these things. He can use them all for his own purposes. His power to protect and provide. See what the psalmist is doing? In the middle of this storm, where does he find his peace? He finds his peace in God. He doesn't find his peace in being taken out and the situation, the circumstances changing. He doesn't find his peace in just thinking about the good old days that isn't affecting anything now. He finds his peace in not looking around, not looking back, but looking up. He finds his peace in God. Look at verse 19. Your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters, yet your footprints were unseen. See what it says? This is God's way that he led them. God led them through the sea. God's path took them through those great waters. The place of, well, if they were choosing the path, they wouldn't have chosen that path. And yet God in his wisdom, the path that he's mapped out for them, he's taken them through. What does it say? Yet your footprints were unseen. They were unknown. And maybe we feel like that when we're in a storm and we say, where is God's path? Where are his footsteps going through this difficult time? They're unknown to me. They're unseen. And yet what you can remember is this. This is God's path that he's taken you on. And when he brings you into that difficult time, what does he do? Does he abandon you? What does verse 20 say? Verse 20 says, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Even in those difficult waters, the troubled sea, what was God doing? He was leading them like a shepherd and caring for them each step of the way. You see, God had appointed these as circumstances. And even when they were going through these circumstances, they couldn't see the path ahead necessarily. But God was with them. And here is the psalmist. It's like the light suddenly been turned on. He says, ah, I get it. I see. No matter what I'm going through, it's God who is faithful. It's God who is powerful. It's God who is caring. It's God who I can trust in and rely in. As you read through, it seems like the psalm suddenly just stops. It doesn't seem like it's got to the end of the story. Your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters, yet your footsteps were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And it stops. Why does it suddenly stop? Well, I think it could be that here is the psalmist. He's been troubled, he's been asking these questions, he's been at turmoil. And now he lifts up his eyes and he sees the Lord, he understands more about him, he ponders on him, meditates on him, and he says, yes, that's the answer. It's him. I need to rest in him. That's it. I put my life into his hands. I trust him. He's a loving, faithful, promise-keeping, powerful God. And so I don't need to pray that my circumstances will be changed. I don't need to pray that God would snatch me out of this and I'm going to be grumpy and miserable and sad unless they do change. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't pray about our circumstances and maybe God's way would be to change them in some way. But it's that case of I refuse to be contented till I'm out of this situation. So I'm just saying, no, I can trust you in this time. And he's not looking back fretful as he recounts God's goodness and how things used to be. But he's reminding himself of the works of God and of the God who's performed those works. And as he does that, he lifts up his eyes. He says, I can rest here. I can have peace. Isn't this a lovely psalm? I don't know what the situations are, as I said at the beginning. I don't know the situations you're in. Don't know if it's a difficult time or a hard time for you. We, some while ago, had two Christian husband and wife doctors. And they came and they did a talk on mental health. And they were speaking about it from a Christian's perspective. And one of the interesting things they said was that when you are, when you're doing okay with your mental health, something that you should do is seek to build up resilience. So when those tougher times come, you have more of a foundation to stand on. And I think that's fair to say here. You may be saying, you know, I'm not in a difficult time at the moment. Well, now is a time to learn and understand and fill your mind and your soul with the goodness of God. To get a bigger understanding, a bigger view of who he is. And to grasp more of God's greatness. Think about how God has worked in your own life. Think about how God has worked through history. Think about how God is revealed in his word to us. Seek to understand him more. So when those difficult times do come, you have that foundation, that bedding, to then look and say to the Lord, I remind myself of who you are. You are the God who doesn't change. And if you are in those difficult times now, what should you do? Don't look around the circumstances and wish they were different. Don't look back at the past and say, oh, why can't it be like that again? Lift up your eyes and rest in him. Remind yourself of God's redemption, of his power, and of his care in your life. Isn't that a lovely psalm? Just to remind us of those thoughts. The psalms are so honest and true, aren't they? And God's word is so honest and true. And it pokes on every area in our life, doesn't it? The happy times, the sad times. It addresses all of them. And aren't we grateful for it? Mm.